Yasodhanandana Brajajanaranjana. Yamuna Tira Panachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivaradhari. Yasodha Nandana Prajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yasodha Nandana Prajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kisho Kishori Ki Chai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Chai, Gonitai Ki Chai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Chai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you very much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are continuing with Canto 10, Chapter 24, and the text for today is 6 and 7. So, text 6, we will chant responsively, and after that I'll read text 7. Gnatva gnatva chakar mani. Janoyam anutishtati vidusa karma siddhi syad yata na vidu shobhavet gnatva gnatva chakarmani gnatva gnatva chakarmani ja Jano yamanutishtati vidu sa karma vi siddhi syat yato na vidu shobhavet gnatva gnatva cha karmani jano yam anutishtati Vidusa karma siddhi syat yata na vidusho bhavet. Please chant. Gyatva gyatva cha karmani jano yam anutishtati Vidusha karma siddhi syat yatav na vidusho bhavet. And the word for word, gnatva, understanding. Agnatva, not understanding. Cha, also. Karmani, activities. Jana, the common people. I am these. Anutishtati, perform. Vidusaha, for one who is wise. Karma siddhi, achievement of the intended goal of activity. Syat, arises. Yata, as. Na, not. Avidushaha, thank you very much. For one who is foolish. Bhavet, occurs. So the translation for text 6. When people in this world perform activities, sometimes they understand what they are doing, and sometimes they don't. Those who know what they are doing achieve success in their work, whereas ignorant people do not. In the purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, the Lord here informs his father that people should perform a particular ceremony or activity only after thoroughly understanding it through discussion with friends. We should not be blind followers of tradition. If a person doesn't even know what he's doing, how can he be successful in his work? This essentially is the Lord's argument in this verse. Since Sri Krishna, as the young child of Nanda, would naturally be expected to show enthusiasm for his father's religious activities, it was the father's duty to give the son a thorough explanation of the ceremony. And text 7. Tatra tavat kriya yogo bhavatam kim vicharitaha ata valokikas tanme prichata sadhu vanyatam. And the translation for text 7 is as follows. Such being the case, this ritualistic endeavor of yours should be clearly explained to me, Krishna talking. Is it a ceremony based on scriptural injunction or simply a custom of ordinary society? Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militamiena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopisam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Taribhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Namaha. Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Ramapada Swami Dinamine. Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So I'll just read the English translation again for text 6, which is the main text. When people in this world perform activities, sometimes they understand what they are doing and sometimes they don't. Those who know what they are doing achieve success in their work, whereas ignorant people do not. Krishna talking. So, there's commentary on this verse by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, particularly text 6, to which there's a purport that we've read. And he gives Krishna's statement, so reword slightly the translation I've just read. So this is how he puts it. People should perform a particular ceremony or activity only after thoroughly understanding it through discussion with friends. We should not be blind followers of tradition. So he's spelling it out. Krishna put it in a very simple way, but he's selling Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is putting it more in a statement form, like this is what we should do, this is what we should not do. So one should not be a blind follower of tradition. So we would have to define what activities are, because the statement being made is that people should perform a particular ceremony or activity only after thoroughly understanding it. So if we define what activity means, generally activity refers to the worship and the sacrifice that Vaishya farmers perform, as well as the present and the future results. So it's very specific, the usage of the word activity in this particular verse. So naturally, this we have to also look at the particular view that one holds when one performs an activity, because that's the crux of the matter, or rather I should say it's we're taking one step back. You know, what view do you hold when you're performing some activity? So there's two views of activities that are given by Krishna. So you understand this is an attitude one has. So Krishna gives these two views that one could hold about activities as related to worship and sacrifice. And it's in Bhagavad Gita 3:25 where he says, as the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act, but without attachment, for the sake of leading people to the right path. So, one view that one may hold when one's performing one's activities is that of being very attached to those very same activities that one is performing. So naturally, material activities. And the second view, it rests on viewing activities that are being performed. So they may be precisely the same activities that persons with that different view, the view that they're very attached to performing those activities, that view will be that those activities are being engaged in, or one is employing oneself in the performance of those activities. So it's a little bit more of a detached view. One is utilizing oneself to perform those activities for satisfying a supreme being, Lord Krishna. So it's a very different view by which same activities can be performed. And one can put it even in a different way. And this is how it's been put. Just as ignorant persons perform actions with a desire for results, those in knowledge should perform the same actions but without desire for fruitive results. So that's another way of putting it, and that other way of putting it is Srila Baladev Vijayabhusan. So the particular view one holds, one gets a label above one's head by Srila Baladev Vijayabhusan. That label above one's head, if one's holding the view that one is attached to those material activities, then one gets the label ignorant. I mean, translating it as such. And because the motivating factor is the result that's going to come from that activity. So there goes the label, ignorant. And and the same activities that are, so different category of persons, those activities that are being performed not looking to the results, but looking to connect or please the Supreme Being, those activities don't have that same desire for the results, and hence that person is considered to be a knowledgeable person. So those are the two different labels that fall over or come over the heads of the two different categories of persons holding different views on how activities need to be performed. So there's a certain method also that's proposed by Krishna for dealing with persons who have that ignorant label, or persons who are very attached to even dutiful activities that produce some result, because that's where the focus is. The focus is on the result. the person in knowledge, so one takes it that the person who's taken a step back and looked at this question of what view are you viewing the activities you're performing, so the person who's knowledgeable is actually looking to benefit all persons, so particularly that group that has that label, the ignorant mass that's focused on the results of activities. So the persons that are the second category, the persons that are in knowledge, they're actually looking to benefit persons And they need to act with some sort of attention. And so this is the method that Krishna is outlining. So Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan, he gives a question that one would avoid using if one's, you know, in that knowledgeable category. Because, you know, one has to be extremely attentive to how one is dealing, even if one has a desire to be of benefit because one has taken a step back and understood that, you know, there's a little problem with being very attached or just being fixed on the result of activities. So this is the question to be avoided. What is the use of these activities? What's the use of these duties? It's a very confrontational kind of approach to be avoided. And one could even follow up that, so this is to be avoided in terms of verbalization. One would not say, "You can attain success just by developing some knowledge," just as I have, as an aside. So to be avoided completely. So, so the method that's been given is being very attentive to how you're approaching others. And in this particular situation, we're getting this amazing illustration where Krishna, he happens to see the cowherd men, and they're busily arranging for a sacrifice to Indra. So he says the following to Nanda Maharaj. So taking into account, being attentive if one's in knowledge to how one is approaching. So this is how Krishna does it with Nanda Maharaj. When people in this world perform activities, sometimes they understand what they're doing and sometimes they don't understand. So it's a very neutral way, very objective statement. And those who know what they are doing, they achieve success in their work, whereas ignorant people don't. So it's a very, he's been very consistent. I mean, just as we heard in Bhagavad Gita, we're having the conversation with Arjuna, he said very much the same thing. And here we're getting how he's saying it, communicating it. So it's his father and a whole group of cowherd men. So very simply put, I mean, it's mildly put, it's not a confrontational thing. It's mildly put, because it's, again, that approach when you're in knowledge, you have to be very attentive to how you're dealing with others. So I'm finding this passage very interesting of how Krishna's dealing. I mean, I can share with you, for a long time I've been racking and racking my brains to think how to approach some particular persons, in particular one person of a couple that is very absorbed in performing activities connected to getting results. So various austerities undergone. And I've asked politely the question, so why is it that one is fasting for this particular length of time to this, because this austerity is connected to the sun god, why is one fasting in this kind of way? And the answer will be something to the effect of, my mother-in-law told me to do it this way. So, and but it's done, you know, and the response is very similar whenever I've inquired. I mean, I'm coming from a different position, so I'm just inquiring, you know, why is it that this particular austerity has been done? So I've been thinking for a long time how to go a little bit further, because one understands where there's attachment. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to break it. Even though there's not understanding of why it's been done, there's some attachment because the result will be something, maybe health, prosperity, a general sense of that, but maybe it's not defined precisely. So this method of dealing with an activity that has a karmic result is further elaborated upon by Krishna. So it's immediately in 3:26 of Bhagavad Gita. So he's giving the method. So this is how he puts it. So as not to disturb the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities, and in brackets, for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So this is the method. So you're finding different activities for the persons who are looking for karmic results and have some faith in those karmic results. Like, if I perform this activity, I'm going to get this result. So there's a connection. So you're not going to try and halt that, but rather you're going to try and introduce another activity. Maybe they don't know the results of that, or there's at least maybe some openness to that activity. But it'll be an activity that, coming from a position of knowledge, one will gradually help them to move in the direction of Krishna consciousness. So this is a method given by Lord Krishna. So you can see one has to be very attentive and very careful. I've been finding this myself. I have the person's long distance take darshan on the phone of the deities. Because they like to take darshan, so I dutifully once a week, here's the darshan. Nothing more, no, nothing more. So, and this is the verse where Krishna is actually giving this method. Nabudhi padam nayet agnyanam karma sanginam josayet sarva karmani Vidvan Yuktaha Samacharan. So in one sense, Lord Krishna is employing the intelligence in thinking activity through the questions he asks. So it's very subtle. So this is the question he poses today. It was in text 7. Such being the case, this ritualistic endeavor of yours should be clearly explained to me. Is it a ceremony based on scriptural injunction or simply a custom of ordinary society? So he's stimulating the thought process by posing very relevant questions. So, and of course, it works on the assumption that the other party is willing to think. When you understand that persons may not be willing to think, it may take time before one can come to this particular point. But in this case, Krishna goes very smoothly into it. So this is the seventh verse that we read today, text 7. Now, in Western philosophy, particularly that with the Socratic underlying basis, where there is focus on attending to the intellect and thinking, that philosophy is very insistent on three particular things. One is that one needs to learn to think clearly. The second is that, well, of course, and logically as possible. And secondly, one must show the relevance of that thinking to the problem. So, or rather, any problem that confronts us. Because in life, one is hit with moral dilemmas. And that's what philosophy is generally looking at, the tension that exists there in some moral conflict. And thirdly, one has to think in ways that search out fresh alternatives for approaching the problem. So this is the focus of Western Socratic philosophy with regard to dealing with particularly moral dilemmas that one runs into. Should one do this or should one not do this? So have to learn to think clearly and as logically as possible. And also that thinking has to be relevant to the problem on hand. So one can't go off on a tangent. You're specifically looking at that, and you're going to look at ways or find alternatives that address problems. So if one applies these particular dictations in Western philosophy, and myself, you know, I deal with education of children, so generally in the curricula of any public school, there'll be the dictation that there should be character development. It's a very common thing. Character means there's some attunement to this looking at moral dilemmas in life and being able to make proper judgments connected to facing some sort of moral dilemma. So character education should be doing that, or at least if it's not doing that, at least it's pointing to the necessity of the child making right choices. So how it's going about it, I do not know in the public schools, but at least I have the similar kind of responsibility with the transmission of transcendental knowledge, because that's one of the services I've been doing. And so children have to learn to think and to identify different issues that arise. And just being reflective in this kind of way, it's called ethical inquiry. So there has to be some sort of inquiry into the difficulties, these dilemmas that arise. And in some sense, you know, reading this particular section of Lord Krishna addressing what you could call a dilemma, an ethical dilemma, should a particular form of worship happen to a particular demigod, or should the form of worship actually be directed elsewhere? So it's a dilemma. So we're hearing something of his thinking process with how he's going about dealing with Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men. So he says, is it a ceremony based on scriptural injunction or simply a custom of ordinary human society? So something that's definitely to be done or something that is just traditional? So the implication is that one shouldn't be a blind follower of tradition. And that was stated right in the beginning when I read Sri Baladev Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. When he spelt it out, Krishna's same state inquiry, he's actually saying one should not be a blind follower of tradition, making it in a statement form. So if a person does not know what he is doing, then how can he be successful in his work? So this is so because tradition may be defined as the handing down of beliefs, or even stories, or even customs from generation to generation. Thus, tradition, as Srila Prabhupada puts it, it is made. That's how he puts it. It is made, it is temporary, as contrasted with something which is a fact. So the scriptural injunction is factual. This is what needs to be done. The other, the passing down from generation to generation, that's kind of created. And this is the distinction Srila Prabhupada is making. So the scriptural injunction, he said, is not dependent on tradition. So it's not dependent on custom or some just some belief system being passed down. So the implication is that one may be believing something. If I do this, I'm going to achieve this result. And what one is believing may actually not be factual. This is the implication if one is just relying on something, a belief system that's being passed down. So there's just a little interesting excerpt. It's connected to this point, but Srila Prabhupada's having a conversation with a Sanskrit professor, and he gives an example to illustrate this point of, you know, the tradition and scriptural injunction. So this particular professor was talking about truth. So here's Srila Prabhupada talking back. You are living. I am living. Existing. This is truth. But you are a professor and I am something else. That is temporary. But so far as you are living and I am living, or living being, that is truth. But your dress and my dress, that is temporary. So we have to understand in this material world, we are mixed up with temporary and eternal. Living being, the living entity, is eternal, but his body is temporary. This is the position. So he's going into the whole area of, you know, what's temporary and what is factual. So making that distinction. And he's done the same thing with making a distinction, or Srila Prabhupada has, the same distinction between tradition and scriptural injunction. So the one is factual, the other one may not be. It's just a belief system, a custom. It's passed down. It may not be factual. of course, now we come to where there may be an overlap. There is the tradition of the Brahmana Vaishnava. So one has to keep this tradition of the Brahmana Vaishnava, because that's stressed by Srila Prabhupada. So the tradition here is that one is looking for the means to satisfy Lord Vishnu. So that's the tradition. It's a very firm belief. it's a place from which one is performing activities. It's the view one is holding in performing activities. So just by virtue of it, of the fact that it's to satisfy Lord Vishnu, wipes out that belief in karmic result. So it's a if the tradition of performing activities to please Lord Vishnu, that's a tradition that can be maintained by virtue of the fact that the emphasis or belief or faith in karmic result is not there. So it changes the whole picture of things. So one can say that this practice of pleasing Lord Vishnu, of the Brahmana Vaishnava, it's a long-established custom. And it has this unwritten law of satisfying Lord Vishnu. So one may say that the end of all Vedic rituals, all performances of sacrifice, and everything that's in the Vedas, including all direction for material activities, it's a very broad statement one can make, is meant for understanding Krishna, who's the ultimate goal of life. so this is that knowledgeable position, but I'm just going through it logically. so Krishna states this himself, Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vadaischa sarvai aham eva vedyo, Vedanta krit veda vid eva Jaham. So by all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. So this verse in particular, it's highlighting that Lord Krishna is the cause of knowledge and ignorance of living entities. So he's the origin of the two categories that I described right in the beginning. yeah. So, Lord Krishna has entered as the regulator into the hearts of all living beings. Because he's bringing about the knowledge that's necessary in performing their particular activities. So I'm elaborating on that statement I just made, that he's the cause of knowledge and ignorance of the living entity. So this is the means by which it's working, and it's based on this statement in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. So by entering into the hearts, he's regulating those activities, both of those that are in the category of the ignorant and those who are in the category of knowledge. And so the living entity, he's supposed to forget what his previous activities were as he's quitting his current body, but he begins his work again because it's been initiated by the Supreme Lord. So the Lord gives him that intelligence, that that ability to distinguish, you know, this is what should be done, this is what should not be done. So the living entity is able to renew his work where he ended it in his previous life. So this means that the living being, he's either going to be enjoying or suffering in this world according to the dictation of the Supreme Lord. And I mean, this is, I find, very fascinating because it means that one's intelligence is working in a certain way. So the intelligence is allowing one to suffer or enjoy because one is kind of already being pushed in a certain direction based on previous activities from previous lives. So one's whole perspective is already kind of preformed. And this is because of the presence of the Supreme Lord who pushes that to the surface. And one is getting the opportunity to, you could say, to understand the Vedas from him. So it's on an extremely subtle level going on internally. And with the seriousness of oneself to try to understand the Vedic knowledge, then Krishna comes to give the intelligence. So the factual component, the scriptural injunction, that can't always be understood so easily. It requires developing one's intelligence. So those persons that, say, are caught up in the more ignorant category where the belief is in the karmic result, there has to be, you know, development of intelligence, the thinking process, the ability to, you know, logically look at things and then make adjustments that has to take place. And of course, it's helped along. That's the point by just knowing that Lord Krishna is regulating activities within the heart of the living being. It's helped along by him. if there is that seriousness to factually understand the Vedas, meaning not just rely on beliefs that are being passed down. sometimes I think that even a simple thing, I gave the example in my own life where, you know, once a week I'm doing the darshan or allowing for a darshan for persons that are very attached to karmic results and activities related that way. I see it that, you know, because I'm understanding that Lord Krishna is dictating from within, I believe that the intelligence will start coming to a point of, oh, actually, you know, why am I performing this other activity? So I'm observing. I'm taking the position of observation rather than diving right into the matter. And Lord Krishna here with Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd boys, he dives right in. He can actually immediately begin trying to stimulate the intelligence to start the thinking process and logical examination of what's going on. So naturally we know that just by performing Vedic rituals where there's discussion and there's worship, particularly of Lord Krishna in devotional service, he comes to be attained because that's the goal. It's gradually moving in that direction of trying to understand Krishna. So all the statements he makes, illustrations that are given by how he handles different situations, one comes to get a deeper insight through discussion and this, you know, the intelligence is working. So here Krishna, you could say he's following what he instructed as the method for dealing with persons who are looking at the results which bear fruit. So he's been very consistent. You know, I tried to draw a parallel from what he's discussing in Arjuna to this very situation where he's dealing with the cowherd men. So if one's working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage in all sorts of activities. But it's for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So the action Krishna is going to take through stimulating the intellect of Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd boys and the cowherd men is clearly to have them move in that direction, the direction of the Krishna consciousness. So we'll get to hear as it develops, but I'm isolating these particular two verses and the particular insight that came to me just based on naturally my whole being and the perspective from which I look and trying to, you know, put it into some sort of small clarified bubble. So if there's any thought on this particular subject matter. Yeah, I'm very surprised that it's almost 8:30. Because, you know, when it's two verses and one's been very, very specific with ideas, it feels like, you know, it takes 5 minutes. So I'm always a little surprised. So thank you very, very, very much for your kind attention. We'll end the class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.